Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, and especially verse 18. Second Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When Charles chose that hymn, he knew nothing of what I am about to say. Does not know now till I mention it, but I woke at 3 o'clock or thereabouts this morning. I mentioned the time, perhaps one was praying for me at that time, and immediately that fifth verse of the hymn we have just sung came powerfully to my mind. As the image in the glass answers the beholder's face, thus unto my heart appears, print thine own resemblance there. What a wonderful prayer. And we feel it confirmed that Charles has chosen that hymn. And this verse in that connection came into one's mind. Not a verse we've ever spoken from before in our 35 years of ministry. One feels much need of the Lord to open it and to apply it with power to our souls. But firstly, to look a little at the setting, because this verse commences with the word but, which always draws our attention to compare that which follows with that which had gone before. And here in this chapter, in the immediate context, is that which we read from the book of Genesis, book of Exodus, chapter 34. How that Moses had, at God's command, gone the second time up to Mount Sinai, the first time with Joshua, when God gave him the 2 tables of stone with the 10 commandments upon them. But when Moses came down from the mount and saw the golden calf, we read there how he threw them down and broke them. And then, without dwelling upon what took place, many of the children of Israel were slain. Moses felt his need of the Lord to go with him. Aaron, upon whom he seems to have placed too much trust in the past, had proved a broken reed. And now, at God's command, he came the second time, this time without Joshua, up Mount Sinai. And he took these 2 tables of stone, which God then wrote upon the 10 commandments, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, when he returned, having neither eaten nor bread nor drunk water in the mount, he came down and his face shone. And the Aaron and the children of Israel were afraid to come nigh to him. And so he put a veil upon his face. We cannot look at the sun with our naked eyes. We would injure our eyes if we did. I mean the sun, of course, when it is high in the sky, when it is just rising and shining through many miles of atmosphere, or just setting. We can, of course, in measure, look at it then, but not when it is shining in its full strength. And so He put a veil upon his face. And when he went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And the apostle, inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit, uses this as a figure, how that the glory of the Lord is hidden, as it were, in the types and shadows of the law by the veil. And the Jews, even as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, read that law in their synagogues every Sabbath day. For you, dear younger friends, don't confuse synagogues with the temple. There was only one temple in which sacrifices were offered, and that was at Jerusalem. The first temple, of course, we call Solomon's Temple, destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar's army. The second temple built by Ezra, and Nehemiah, of course, built the wall. And then that temple, much enlarged by Herod the Great, through 40 years, as we read mentioned in the Gospels. Not that Herod the Great desired to worship God, but thought he would obtain the loyalty of the people by building and enlarging the temple. And the law was read in the synagogues. The synagogue was a place of teaching. Wherever the Jews, and by that time they were scattered amongst many nations in the Middle East, they had a synagogue. We read how Paul and his companions went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day. But this veil, as it were, was not taken for the most part from the heart of the Jews. They did not see the gospel, types and shadows, in the law. The shedding of blood in the Passover, the shedding of blood daily in the sacrifices of the outer court, and once a year, blood taken into the inner court and sprinkled before and upon the mercy seat. They did not see the types of the scapegoat or of the brazen serpent that was lifted up. The veil was upon their heart. As we read in here in the 13th verse, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. And still the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, still have that veil over their hearts, still waiting before the Messiah. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, none of us are Jews by genealogy, but nevertheless, upon our hearts is this veil until the Lord takes it away. In the school just over the road, we had to learn many scriptures by heart. At the time, speaking personally, it was not profitable to my soul. But I believe the Lord has made those things we learn by heart, things we learn as children, remain upon our hearts and memory in old age, when we cannot often remember things a few days ago. And so I believe the Lord has bless those things we learned then. But amongst them were the Ten Commandments, which, if my memory is right, we often had to repeat almost every day. But it meant nothing to one. Nothing to one. The veil was still upon my heart. Is it upon your heart? Are you still under the law? The child of God is not under the law, but under grace. He will pray and endeavor to be kept from sin, but not now because of the punishment for sins, but because sin will be hateful to him, especially when by faith he believes the punishment of those sins was laid upon Jesus Christ. And he will then, as the apostle writes to the Romans, suffer with Christ. As I've said before, we suffer with a person in proportion to our love to that person, and especially if we have caused that injury. The veil shall be taken away. And it is, as we read in the last clause of verse 18, by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, are you and I amongst this way? I emphasize again, the epistles were written not to mankind in general, but to those who were already manifestedly children of God. In the Acts of the Apostles, when addressing a mixed congregation, the apostles used the expression men and brethren. Some they knew had the same spiritual father, even God. Some as yet gave no such evidence, so they used the expression men and brethren. But you never once find that expression men and brethren in the epistles. And this second epistle, written by Paul and Timothy unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all age, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we in this living church of God? Manifestedly so, if we have followed in the ordinances of baptism and in keeping his commandment to partake of the emblem of his broken body and shed blood. But all his elect are in the church, even in their unregeneracy. Even in their unregeneracy. Just a little figure to illustrate it, especially for you, dear younger friends. We read of Noah's Ark. Of three stories shalt thou make it, with a lower, middle, and upper story. Now in the lower story, what we call the bilges of the ship, is where all the filth accumulates, all the rats and other vermin that may be in the ship, setting forth, as it were, the condition of the Lord's people in their unregeneracy. Below the waterline, no light at all, all in darkness. We might liken the middle story of the ark to the condition of the Lord's people in this life after they're called by grace. There was one window, a cubit wide and high, about 18 inches square. It didn't give much light for that middle story, but there was some light. the condition of the Lord's people after they're called by Christ. But the third or upper story, heaven itself, where all is life. But the point I am making, those that were in that lower story, in complete darkness, were just as safe as those in the upper story, though they were still in darkness, their minds blinded, the veil upon their heart. Once in Him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. We read, the Lord shut them in. The Lord shut them in. So are we amongst these with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. For us to see ourselves in a glass, certain things are essential. Consider them spiritually. Are we alive? No use holding a mirror in front of a dead person and saying, aren't you very pale this morning? Aren't you going to shave or whatever? No response. The dead person could not see themselves. Again, we must have our eyes opened, like the man in John 9, blind from his birth. He had to have his eyes open first to see himself as he saw himself in that water in which the Lord had commanded him to wash. A grown man before that time, and he'd never seen himself. But now he saw himself. And then later he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only have our eyes open, and for that matter be awake, because when we are asleep we would not see ourselves in a mirror if it were held in front of our face, but especially we must have light. Ah, that is the great thing, to have that light. This mirror is especially, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In John 12, the Lord speaks much of himself as that light, the light that cometh into the world. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide, not remain in darkness. He may know many times in his spiritual experience when he feels to be in much darkness, but he will not remain in darkness. And Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them, the unbelieving Jews. That light, did we not read of it in the first chapter of the gospel recorded in John? Where John, inspired of course by the Spirit, wrote of Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. That was my first text at Oakington in December, 35 years ago. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it, understandeth it not. In passing, was it not in that parable of the sower, the only seed that brought forth fruit was set forth by those that understood the things that were spoken. Him that understandeth and bringeth forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And then John, speaking of himself as a man sent from God, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The word world often means the Lord's people amongst all nations, as we find with the Lord speaking to Nicodemus, who, like Peter later on, when he had to have that vision from heaven, Nicodemus and Peter thought that only Jews would be saved. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The Lord Jesus in his prayer, the only Lord's prayer, said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory which I had with thee from the foundation of the earth. We sometimes sing, would we view his brightest glory? Here it shines in Jesus' face, the glory of the redemption of the souls of the Lord's people by his sin-atoning sacrifice. But here we have, as it were, a reflection, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Do we, as we look into the glass, as it were, of the Holy Scriptures, for the Holy Scriptures have your reflection in, they have mine, both for good and for man. Somewhere in the Scriptures is your exact likeness and mine. But again, we cannot see it except the Lord shines light upon his holy word. We do not hear at Oakington, though some of our places do, commence with prayer before the first hymn. But I hope that in our hearts, whether aloud or not, whether we take up the Scriptures in our homes, cars, offices, or in the house of God, breathe a prayer in our hearts that the Lord would shine light upon his holy word, that we especially may see in the Scriptures our own reflection, and more especially, or just as important, to see Christ as our Saviour. Search the Scriptures, Jesus said, for they testify of me, of me. In the following chapter we read there that which is related. We read of the gospel being hid to them that are lost, those that are still in their lost condition, as it was hid from us in our unregeneration. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What likeness there is usually, more or less, between a child and their parent. Some may take more after their father, some more after their mother. But in the spiritual sense, of course, have we that likeness of our Heavenly Father? In a small measure, it is true, showing whose sons we are. John, in his epistle, writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." They were sons of God in the purposes of election from eternity past. We cannot change our natural parents. Wherever my sons may go, whatever they may do, they will still be my sons. And so it is spiritually. And in a spiritual sense, there are only two fathers. Christ said solemnly of some, "Ye are of your father the devil, a liar from the beginning." Are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, that is, we know but little comparatively of what awaits us in heaven. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, like Jesus Christ, the elder brother, the brother born for adversity. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To see Christ face to face. How often in our pilgrimage journey we are like the two on the way to Emmaus. Christ is with us, but our eyes are hold, and we do not know him. He faithfully reproved them as fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. They clearly believed the promised Messiah would come, but they clearly did not believe Isaiah 53, that he'd be numbered with the transgressors. Bear the sins of many, and so on. They did not believe all that the prophets spoke. But when he broke bread, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. But what good news they had, no doubt tired after their journey, weary with their journey, but now fresh strength given. They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem to speak of the Saviour that had revealed himself to them. There must have been light. It was evening time, yes, but there still must have been light for them to see him and to know him. Do we see some lights? of ourselves to our elder brother, Jesus Christ. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He went about doing good to all. Set a pattern of how we ought to live. But especially, he laid down his life for the brethren. And we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. How much more than comparatively little acts of kindness, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from the glory, as it were, in election to greater glory in the revelation of the new birth in our souls, the revelation of our sins, and of Christ as our Saviour, to even greater glory in heaven itself. In heaven itself. That great blessing that awaits all the Lord's people, we read of in the last chapter of Revelation. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and for ever. I like that hymn based upon the sayings of Rutherford. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear Saviour's face, her dear bridegroom's face. I shall not gaze at glory, but on my Saviour's face. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Change from glory to glory even as by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. Taking our mind to that first chapter of Genesis. The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, setting forth the unregenerate condition of a child of God. And then we read the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That was light. So it is when that Spirit of the Lord brings us into light. The newborn babe has been in darkness until the birth, and then it comes into the light. For the first time in its life, it breathes. It was living before, yes, but now for the first time it breathes. And as I have said before you in the new birth before, concerning that, we know the newborn babe is alive by its cry. But a cry can only be made after air has been breathed into the lungs. There can be no sound made by the vocal cords until air is breathed out over them. And so that newborn babe breathes in air and then makes its cry of distress. Well, it must be a traumatic experience for the babe as well as for the mother in the birth of a babe. And so in that creation we have the work of grace set forth, and then especially in this context of being like him, we have in the 26th verse, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We could say perhaps by the fall, that image was defaced and marred. But now in a spiritual sense, the Lord's people are made after his image, after his likeness. Well, we leave these thoughts with you. But we, what an infinite mercy, if we are amongst these born, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. May that be your portion and mine.